how great our God is, and how thankful we ought to be toward him for all that he's done to us, or just for who he is. We're going to speak this morning, obviously, about that. Give thanks unto the Lord. And Psalm 100, we'll start there. And I do need to mention tonight Jason's preaching in my absence, and then there'll be no service on Wednesday night with the being eve of Thanksgiving. And then next Sunday, Ben is going to be preaching both services while we are away. So, Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. For many, Thursday is just Turkey Day. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, it ought to be much more than that, and not just Thursday. But every day ought to be a day of praise and thanksgiving to our God for who he is. Amen. And for all that he has done for us. Many times I've gone through the details about the pilgrims as they made their way here in the 1600s. And I'll not go into that this morning other than to read Governor Bradford's commission to the people on the first Thanksgiving celebrated on these shores. He says this, to all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience, now I, your magistrate, to proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year one of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. A day of praise and thanksgiving. Of course, it's been carried on since then. And it's the only religious holiday that we have that there doesn't seem to be a great deal of protest against it. Thank the Lord. And truly, we need to thank the Lord. I don't know that we can fully understand the suffering and the hardships that our forefathers experienced to come to form this nation of ours. But we certainly do need to be thankful for the sacrifices that they made in forming of this nation and for the purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they came here, as Governor Bradford stated, to serve God according to the dictates of our conscience, not being dictated to us by the government or interfered with us by the government, but doing as we believe God has directed to us to do. Thanksgiving. Five things I want to look at this morning regarding that. First, this. Giving thanks is expected of believers. God expects us to give thanks. Look at Psalm 118. And I was going to use this as my text this morning, but instead I'm just going to jump through several passages here, but just to point out some things in this psalm that are mentioned regarding this. He starts out in verse 1 of Psalm 118, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Amen?
Amen.
God's good all the time. God cannot be anything but good. Because his mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. That he withholds from us the punishment, the judgment that we deserve. We're unworthy. Thank God for that mercy. Amen. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them know, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. And then in verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. He's always there. He's always attentive to us. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? As I preached last week about you are on God's mind. He's at our side. He's with us. And he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Drop down to verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Those in opposition, God's on my side to protect and help me. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. Now, with our perspective, we oftentimes read into the scriptures what applies to us, but it's not really there. When the psalmist is writing about salvation, there's nothing wrong about taking it this way, but he's not talking about the salvation of his soul. He's talking about physical deliverance and protection. And again, it's all right to read that into it, but you need to understand the proper context of the thing. But he is our salvation. He's our protection, our deliverer, and certainly the deliverer of our souls as well. Verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. God is our protector and our help and our strength. Verse 20, the gates of the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. He's always attentive to us. Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that should be true regardless of what you faced already today. The kids fighting as you're getting ready to the church. Something breaking as you're trying to get your chores done before you leave. A flat tire. It's still the day that the Lord hath made. And we are to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what the day brings forth to us. Verse 27, God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And where he started, he begins, for his mercy endureth forever. So much we have to be thankful to our God for. Be sure to take time to do that. Not just one day a year. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about things. That's the default for us humans. Oh, what am I gonna do now? He says, don't be full of care. We have a God in heaven that we can take whatever it is to. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be thankful. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That thanksgiving is to be a part of everything we do. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye have been called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, by him. Kind of a theme there, isn't there? In everything we do, we're to give thanks. Because we've got so much to be thankful for. And he expects it of us. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. This is a verse, I admit there's things I don't understand about it. But he says in Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now we think of a sacrifice as being something where you got to give something up and losing something dear to you or something costly. What's it cost you to give thanks to God? Amen. But he still says it's a sacrifice. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But go back to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. As he's going down through the conditions of the world, and start in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He says, he's talked about those who have rejected God in the verses leading up to this. Verse 19, because that which they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The people who reject God, saying that don't believe he exists, are without excuse. God says, I've showed you. Just open your eyes. But people don't want to. And that rejection, he goes on now, verse 21, because that when they knew God, everybody knows God. Everybody that takes a moment to think about it would have to realize this place didn't come into being by accident. It's not possible. But science rejects God because they don't want to believe in him. Not because they can't. He says, because when they knew God, verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Not appreciating all that God has done. Every breath that you take, you're indebted to God for. Amen. The very fact that you exist, you're indebted to God for that. And as a child of God, we are indebted twofold, because not only has he brought us into being, but he saved our eternal soul so that we can spend eternity with him. We ought to be thankful. And the opposite of that is ungodly. It's a rejection of God. Thanks is expected of the believer. Giving thanks is a central part of worship. Go back to Leviticus chapter 23. How many of you have ever read the book of Leviticus? Just curious. No. Kind of tough reading. But you know, there's still, it's there for a reason. God put it there for a reason. And you come to chapter 23, and this chapter talks about all the seven feasts that the people of Israel had to worship annually, observe annually. It starts out with Passover, which is on the 14th day of the first month. The very next day starts the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. And he goes through all seven of these feasts. And what you see is that Thanksgiving is an integral part of all of this. I want you to drop down to verse 15. And we're going to pick up here with the Feast of Pentecost. This is the feast that they were observing on the day in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples there and Peter preached and 5,000 people got saved. It says in verse 15, "And ye shall count unto you from the hour after the Sabbath, from that the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even under the morrow of the seventh day shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. He shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish for the first year, and one young bullock and two rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord." It's quite a mess of stuff being offered there. And all this is to God, recognizing him. Verse 19, "Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And he shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Drop down now to verse 33. This goes to the Feast of Tabernacles, another feast. And three of these feasts, all the males were required to come to Jerusalem to observe these things. It doesn't say about the others how many came. Apparently attendance was voluntary. But obviously the people were involved in this. And it's all about giving thanks to God for the many things he's done. We pick up in verse 33, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles," or as we call it here, the Grange Fair, "for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Unto the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein." These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon this day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. This is a celebration and a time of rejoicing, which includes thanksgiving, the center of their worship. And as you could see, some of these feasts last 7 days. Even 8 days, because it said the 8th day. A whole week of celebration and thanks and praise to God. Go back to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And this phrase is repeated several times throughout this psalm. Verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's a good question. What shall I give to God for all that he's given to me? Everything we have. What should we give to him? Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. The gathering of God's people together ought to include sacrifice and thanksgiving. Thank you, God. What shall I render him? Right there. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks is the center of our worship. Giving thanks is preceded by thinking. If you're going to thank somebody for something, you've had to stop and take note that there's a reason to give thanks. Yes. And sometimes, even then, we don't really consider the thing which we're giving thanks for fully. Go back and think about the day when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The change that God brought in your life. The difference that he's made in the trajectory of your life. Give thanks. Observe. Reflect. Contemplate. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Rejoice more As Paul's ending this letter to the people at Thessalonica, he gives this list of things that they need to do, just kind of closing it out. He's first, rejoice evermore. When? All the time. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Again, all the time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything. Not because of everything. Not for, but in everything we're to give thanks. Think about that. There was a Christian lawyer who lived in Chicago during the time of the Great Chicago Fire. And he lost everything. His business, his home, all was destroyed. And so he decided he was going to send his family, his wife and his four daughters, to England till they could get back to the schools were reopened and they could get their his business built back up and things be prepared for them. So they went by ship and they're on the way to England. And sometime after they had departed, he got a telegram back from his wife. It said, saved alone. The ship had wrecked. His four daughters had been killed. And so sometime later, after his wife was reunited with him and he decided that they were going to take another trip to England, and he'd asked the captain if he could, to the best of his ability, point out the spot where the ship had gone, the previous ship had gone down. And so he and his wife stood there on the deck of the ship as the spot was pointed out to him, and looking across that water and thinking about the four precious souls that they'd lost that day. Pretty tough, right? Well, this man's name was Horatio Spafford. And at that point, he said as he stood there, it was as well, God's will be done. And then that led to the penning of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river sendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. That man understands 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, was he thankful for the death of his daughters? No. But he still gave thanks in the loss of his daughters, which led to the penning of that hymn that has touched hearts for these decades since, what was it, 1873. In fact, it was November the 22nd, 1873. Friday was the anniversary of that. But for all these years since then, God has used that to touch hearts throughout the world. It's sometimes hard for me to sing that without tears coming to my eyes as you think about not just the words, but the grief behind the penning of those words. Until to stay, it is well with my soul. Think about it. We're to give thanks in everything. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I believe we looked at this passage a few weeks ago. As David is turning the kingdom over to his son Solomon, he's at the end of his life. But giving thanks acknowledges God's control over everything, his sovereignty. Verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from my hard work and diligent labors. No. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. God's in control of all. And as I mentioned earlier, what can I give back to God for all he's given me? Anything I give back to him came from his hand in the first place. But you know what? It's just like the little child that comes up to a parent with that scribbled on piece of paper that you gave them with the crayons that you gave for them to be able to do that. Here, Daddy, here's a picture I made you. And I believe that's how God receives what even those little things we give back to him. That's what he expects of us. See, giving thanks is a confession of my indebtedness to God for all that I owe him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Jesus Christ purchased our redemption. And we owe him everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What know ye not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm not my own. He owns me. He deserves anything and all and more than I can give back to him. I am indebted to him. One more passage, Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. We owe him so much. We ought to be a thankful people for all that God has given to us, all the blessings that we have, especially in this country in which we live. I mean, just travel someplace else once. It's eye-opening. And I've not been to some of the worst places on earth. I've been to second world countries, not third world. But even in the second world, where all the storefronts have gates and bars and armed guards with automatic weapons standing outside. As much fault as we can find, we're prone to complain all the time. It's a whole lot better than most of the rest of the world. Be thankful. Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us every day to offer that sacrifice of praise to you, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to your name. God, we do thank you for the blessings we enjoy, the health that we have, the freedom that we have, the prosperity that we have. And God, thank you for the generosity of your people as well. I know some have given to the Smiths, even though they weren't able to come. And some have given to the people of North Carolina and worked diligently to help to get the needed things there. Thank you, God, for that generosity. And help us continue to be a thankful and generous people. God, if there's one here this morning that has never entered in to the family of God, has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, may you speak to that heart right now and challenge them about their need of you and your sufficiency to meet that need. And may they be willing to surrender to you, trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have all their sins washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that gift of salvation that you freely offer to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 275, please. 275.